Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I have dreamed a dream of every common man, hoping to rise to the top. I have sworn by my blood, as your man, my love, that one day, I promise one day your heartache would stop. But I've never, 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 never changed. I've never changed one single grain of sand. Oh, thanks to you, baby. But just love in a common man, I want to thank you to see. Oh, I thought that I felt you so. But that's when you turned around and looked me in my eyes, and you let me know. You said, and you said it softly, I didn't have to worry about being a common man. You said, David, you don't have to worry about rising to the top. You said, I didn't have to swear by my blood. But oh baby, that one day your heartache would stop. Then you put your arms around me and you said, you never, 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 never cared. If I'd never change one single grain of sand, you said, I love. Well, my gratitude just keep on growing, yeah, for recognizing me. I thank you, baby, yeah, for respecting me, yeah. I won't thank you, baby, for every time of need. Here we are. Here we are. We're finally free. They're messing with the microphone again. I've given the entire intro, and here we go again. But again, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of God's green earth. This is your platform for black education, black liberation, and black empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report. And I'm your host, Rashid Muhammad, and we always open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad and his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We greet all of you in both their names with love. As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters. Since they're already messing with the microphones and since they're already making my volume go up and down, and we had some of the problems before getting on the air, we're just going to forego all of the other formalities, all of the other introductions, and we're going to go to our subject today. All of the fears of American empire and terror. Now, when I made that title for this show, it just came to me out of nowhere as I was looking at the precarious situation that the empire now finds herself in. And I thought about, that she's trying, as Brother Saladin would always tell me, he said, brother, when Allah gets a hold of this devil, when Allah gets a hold of America, he's going to chastise her like nobody else can, and she's going to try to project strength. But it's going to, all of that stuff, all of her fears are going to start seeping out, and it's going to be wrapped in terror. And so as I look today at the policies of America, the American empire, and I look at her precarious situation, I go back to her fall, and I think about how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told her that Allah would bring her down, and there would be no throne for her, and that she would be on the ground. She would have no luxurious clothes, no wealth, and as the Bible says, the nations would all get together and say, is this that big bad, and I'm paraphrasing, is this that big bad Goliath that the whole nation, the whole world trembled in fear of? They're going to make mock of her. So what we're looking at when we're looking at the geopolitical situation facing America, we're looking at these nations constantly uniting against America because of her arrogant policy. And when we look back at her domestic policy, as I often tell you, her domestic policy is a reflection of her international policies and vice versa. We look to the main problem of America's problem and the main focus of America's fall, which gets missed and gets omitted by so many people, which is the mistreatment of you and I. You know, on the last live show, we had a good brother call in. He was a host of another show. And he was concerned. He was very concerned about the situation of the American so-called Negro and how all of these organizations cannot get the black man to unite, and how things that are going on with the police killing us and us killing us and the dope situation and how it looks so bad for us. And a lot of people are getting bent out of shape about that. But, brothers and sisters, I want to lend some comfort to your heart and to your head. And I want to let you know, for those of you who talk about separation, which is the key, this is part of the separation. All of what you see going on, all of what you hear going on, part of the process of the separation. A lot of us don't understand that. Matter of fact, let me read some to you. We got a lot of clips to play. We got a lot of things to talk about, and it is all a part of the show titled All the Fears of American Empire Wrapped in Terror. So give me a little time with you as we talk about these things. Now, I want to go, this is on my mind, and if you hear a little creaking in the background, I'm not sitting in my my normal chair that I use when I'm doing my YouTube chair. I'm sitting in one of these high chairs or whatever, and my son made a mistake and had not one of the screws loose, and I didn't have time to tighten it. Screw up before the show, so get past that noise, okay? And just focus on the show at hand. Brothers and sisters, listen closely. We're going to go to, since it's on my mind right now, since I'm talking on this subject, we're going to go to Fall of America, and we're going to go to page 134 and 135. And I want to be clear for those of you who are listening. The situation that the black America finds itself in, we are partly responsible for it, partly responsible for that. But again, Messenger Muhammad, when I think about that, Messenger Muhammad gives us something in Fall of America, and it's not in this particular chapter, but I want to give it to you right now. He tells us that since we were beaten into slavery, we must be beaten out of it. See, this is the part that gets lost in translation with everybody, especially on the unity part, because you can't unify with a Negro. You can't unify with a crazed out fool. You can't trust somebody who has been reared with the same tactics in mind of his oppressor. That stuff has to come out. Because if you leave that in them, they will not be trustworthy. They will stab you in your back. They will talk about you and cause all kinds of division. They will kill you, rob you, steal from you. Why? Because that was put in them. by their oppressors. So when Muhammad says, since we were beaten into that situation, that state of mind, since we were beaten into that, we must be beaten out of it. And what you see going on in America and around the globe, it's the instruments, these are the instruments to beat that hell that was beaten into you up out of you. Okay? That gets lost in the translation with a lot of people. Okay? So unity comes. How can I love you when I hate myself? I want you to understand this. How can I love you when I hate myself? How can I love you when I hate anything that resembles black? And this is a great part of black mentality today. That's why we have so much violence amongst each other. That's why we are quickly ready to end our disputes with violence and with shooting. Or when we get mad at each other, we bring the person who put us in the situation to be the judge and jury of us. I'm going to call that white man, right? This, all this gets lost in translation. So we're in a time where all of that stuff that was put in you is being brought up out of you. It's called the manifestation of defects. You understand? This is all a part of the judgment. This is all a part of the separation. Can't separate with no Negro. You can't separate with these fools that have murder and jealousy and envy and who are wrapped up in the culture of America. You might as well go to an insane asylum. But listen, close to me. Let's go to this. All right? It says, and I only want maybe three sentences from three different paragraphs, but as I often tell you, when I'm dealing with the words that comes from the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and anybody, I'm very diligent and I'm very careful about how I disseminate that. So I want to read the stuff in context. So I give you a little bit before it, and I give you a little bit after it, so that you can truly understand what he is trying to convey to you and how he's trying to convey it to you. Because these two things are very important for you to understand. Without that understanding, and you read the quote, you are yet still lost. So listen to what Muhammad says, okay? The coming of Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, was for the deliverance of the lost and found people, and in parenthesis it says black, from our 400-year-old enemy who has never shown them anything but evil, murder, and death. Stop right there. So that goes to what I was just saying to you. So if that is the environment that we were brought up in, it should not come to you by surprise or shock that is the same way we view each other and the same way we deal with each other today. Definitely, I don't care how many times you say assalamu alaikum or put a bow tie on. You are undermining each other at every turn, at every step. You can barely get 10 people together that'll agree on something. You don't think God got to beat that out of you? So just like he's beating the hell out of America, he's got to beat the hell out of you too. All right? So he says, being very angry. He ain't just angry. He's very, according to Elijah Muhammad. Being very angry, as it was written of him, and as I know it to be the truth. He desires nothing more than freedom, justice, and equality for us, the once lost and now found black members of our nation, the original black nation of the earth. Stop right there. So he desires nothing more than freedom, justice, and equality for us. Well, if we are held captive mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, socially, culturally, if we are held captive in all of those areas, if we've been deprived of justice in all of those areas, and we have never shared in the equality of prosperity and unity while being under these people, how the hell you think you're going to do? Huh? There's a process for that. As with anything, there's a process. When you go and dig into the mountains and you say you want precious metal, and they go mining, when they come and they got to go through so much work to get so little of the minerals. And even as they extract the minerals out of the mountain, right, it still has to go through another stage. That extracted from the mountain, that's just the beginning, even though that's hard work. Even though that's life-threatening work, that's still the first part of the effort. What if they extract the minerals? Cajun process. And so when they get these little chunks of rocks, they go take them and they put them through fire to remove dross from them, to remove the impurities from them. And only after they go through the refinement or that process, that hard, hot process of refinement, do we truly get a sense of their worth. That's what we're going through right now. That's what America's going. God is bringing this world to his knees. And in the process, he's delivering you and me. God don't want everybody now. I want you to understand that. He don't want everybody. And that's why you see all these wars going on. That's why you see all this viciousness and brutality going on. He don't want everybody because some people don't want to do right. Think about this. You hold a conversation of righteousness or God. Go on the street corner and try this. See your local thug, or you see your local drug dealer, or you see these other people talking about the big booty girl walking down the street, and start talking about righteousness, and start talking about unification, and see how far that gets you. And see, want that crowd dispersed, or want those crowds look at you like with one eye up and one eye down. Because they don't want that at that moment. They have to be put in a position to understand that whether you want it or not, it's coming. You understand? I want you to just bear with me. Be patient with your brother, okay? Because we've yet not even made it to the points that I'm trying to get to. But as I say to you, every time I talk to you, I want to give you the messenger's teachings as they are. Not as we would like them to be, but as they are. And we will respect them in their proper context. Okay, so let's go further. America is now at war with God through God's people. And then in parentheticals, he puts the so-called Negroes. Stop right there. Remember in the Bible, as the children of God walked under God, they didn't recognize that Satan was amongst them. They thought everybody was good. Everybody was the children of God, right? I'm talking to y'all. Talk to me. Let us respect each other in this way. Remember that. And it took God, not the children of God, but God, to see that one of them amongst them was not of righteous seed. God had to point that out. Whence cometh thou from, Satan? Huh? He says, from to and fro and up and down. He's talking about the cross. He was causing the people up in wickedness, confusion, division, and madness. Isn't that the symbol of the Christian church today? The to and fro, the up and down. We'll get more on that on another show. But there's so much I need to talk to you about. So, as God and Satan conversed with one another, God told him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Huh? He was perfect in all his work. And Satan smiled. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. I tell you what. I bet you take their heads from around, I'll make them curse you in your face. He'll give up everything for his life. So listen to this. God gives a command to Satan that is not talked about in the church, that is skipped over by the Muslims, but we must address today because it's a part of your deliverance. It's a part of separation. It's a part of the resurrection and the redemption of 68 million of us here in America and billions around the globe. This is a very, very special part of scripture that gets looked over in this conversation. God told Satan to go ahead and do what you got to do. He gives him a go save his life. Okay, I thought Jesus knew to save. But God tells Satan to go save his life. Some of y'all scratching your heads now. Go read your book. If it's not in the Bible, I eat it with salt and pepper. And I'm talking about your big Bibles. I eat it with salt and pepper. God gives Satan the command to go save Job. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, that the Job here represents a people. And this people, he says, is us. So how the hell can Satan save you and me? Huh? Because he's going to put you through that fire. See, right now, you don't see your worth. That's why when you look at another black person, you look at them with contempt. I know just as much as he does. He can't tell me nothing. She can't tell me nothing. When you look at it, you look at it with desire. When you see a woman, and the woman's worth is in her backside and in her bosom now, not in her head and in her heart. That stuff got to come out. We got to do a reevaluation of who we are. And it takes letting this beast loose on you for you to start doing a reappraisal of your life in the lives of those who look like you. Okay? So God gives Satan that order, life. All right? So what does that mean? See, Satan, his society, his government, his culture is diametrically opposed to the nature, the culture, and the mind state of Job. But putting Job, a natural people, in an unnatural situation brings out of Job that which Job didn't know was in him. Because we're going to have to tackle this a little bit, okay? He says, the confusion and the plagues of the country with disasters, one after another, is divine retaliation. Divine retaliation against white America's evils, doings, and intentions, which has her opening her homes to integrate the people of God with them who by nature are different or foreign. The white man has poisoned our people's minds. See what I tell you about this Eurocentric mind? Now, you notice that when you look at some of these so-called think tanks and all of these new channels on YouTube and all of these so-called scholars and learned people on YouTube, they used another term that was started here, Eurocentric mind. Because when I was saying there was no definition of that, you can find that. And now they're saying it constantly. I think Alberta Barandi said it. I think, what is her name? Raina Collect said it. I think a whole host of other people are now saying it. But it started here on the Star and Crescent Report. Just like when we talked about the MENA region, the acronym for the Middle East and North Africa. They listen, right? They may have larger audiences, but they don't have a larger truth. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let's go first, okay? People's minds so thoroughly that they fight against their own God and salvation to gain favor of their own enemies. That's why you see all of these so-called organizations pop up, because they think they can do a better job. They think they know better. They think that they can do what God himself has not yet done. They think that. And then when they can't, they get disappointed, and they start talking about, we need to compromise. We need to do this. Hell no. What we need to do is let divine judgment take its course. What we need to do is trust in the Lord of the world and let his word be stand. That's what we need to do. Because they think they know better. They grab a few words of this and a few words of that. And people pat them on the back. They start the organization, get funded by the white man, get funded by this. And they think there's something else. They found a few things of blackness. And yet it keeps us separated. This is part of the judgment. This is part of the separation. This is all in working towards you, the Job of the Bible, you, those dry bones in the Bible, receiving life, being saved. Right? It says, listen, go further, says this. Because we're nearing what I need to talk to you about. We're nearing this. Because, again, we're going to talk about this and we're going to try to talk about the economics in America. We're going to try to talk about the geopolitics that you see going on in Kazakhstan and all of this stuff. But I want to lay the base first. We cannot move forward without having a strong foundation. We don't build the walls without having a solid foundation. We don't lay the roof without having a solid foundation. We got to put the base down, and then everything else, once you put it in this position, it'll stand. Okay? So let's go further. Messenger Muhammad writes, the call of Islam, the true religion of God, to us, the once slaves of America, is the same call telling us, listen to this, it's very important. It is the same call telling us to flee out of the American way of life. Stop right there. Because that is very important. Because that is separation. Because you can't go in no land of your own still having the mentality, the mouth speak, and the culture of your oppressor. So that call that goes out, that is heralded out, over the people, over the masses, or over the valley of 68 million, is what? To flee out of America, not just America, talking about the geographical body of land. It's talking about the culture, the economics, and the politics of America. Okay? Flee from that. And we see on Facebook and Twitter that more and more so-called Muslims are integrating themselves into the culture of American politics and economics and culture. Therefore, you must be beaten out of this. You got to lose something to gain a lot. This is what it says. In the same call, so God didn't get on the phone and make three or four calls. He made a call, and he's sending you some messages that you've got to be very aware. In the same call telling us to flee out of the American way of life. Why, Elijah Muhammad? So that our lives may be saved from the divine destruction of a non-repentant enemy. So if you don't hear that call, and if you hear the call and ignore the message, you know what you do? You go join the military, right? Start believing that you're fighting for freedom. You start believing that you're protecting people's values over here. You start buying into all of the crap that America keeps selling you through the propaganda. You start trying to make American politics work, even though you know inherently that it is corrupt to its eyeballs. Right? I'm talking to you all. You start believing the crap that they selling you. Yeah, he's an old car salesman, right? A used car salesman. This man will make you believe that it's 180 degrees outside and you dying and the temperature be 50 below zero. That's how good this man can lie. That's why the book tells you that he's an arch deceiver. As a deceiver, he has no equal. He's a liar from the beginning. And you be buying all the lies so long as it's convenient with your life. See, you can't unify with that. You can't separate and be unified with a person like that. They got to go through the process. Okay? And now you see all of the fears of the American empire wrapped in terror. Because this is what they fear most. This is what they fear most in China. This is what they fear most in Russia. This is what they fear most in Iran. They fear you having a thorough knowledge and understanding of yourself, them, their policy, and the time, and what must be done. Okay? Listen, I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? Because we are at the point that I wanted to make. Because we're going to transition to the Bible. And from that point on, we're going to transition to some clips. Maybe we'll go through the fall of America a little bit more. But listen, I didn't even think I was going to be going into this. I thought I was going to be talking about situation going on. But because that we're in such a dire situation, and because some of us in the position of authority and some of us who are in position to influence culture have not lived up to the expectations, God put that in my head and in my heart to talk to you on these issues and to mix it in so that you can understand that this is all a part of the show. This is all a part of the judgment, the separation. Okay? And it is a message tailored for you, black men and women here in America. Let's go pray. He says, now this is the part where I was getting to. This is what I wanted to talk about. I read all the other stuff to get to this sentence right here. It says, divine plagues and foreign wars. These are two things that he mentioned here. Listen to what he says. Divine plagues and foreign wars are now destroying the American standards of life and money. Stop right there. Everywhere you look within her border, she's been hit by flood. She's been hit by tornadoes. She's been hit by mudslides. You see over there, you see wildfires, right? And these things are costing billions, or hailstones. They're causing billions upon billions of dollars in damage. Now, I want you to understand something. You say, but that's not much to this rich nation, America. No, but it is much to this poor nation, America, who is only surviving because the greenback has not been fully rejected by the world right now. But once it's fully rejected, how the hell is she going to rebuild? How the hell is she going to finance? Huh? How is she going to finance her military endeavors as more nations move away from her dollar? Divine plague and foreign war are now destroying the American standard of life and money. Elijah Muhammad, what are you talking about? The sanctions regime of America, sanctioning everybody and anybody who does not bow to her. This has caused a bad taste in the mouths of foreign nations and governments. So what they are doing now is working out bilateral swap agreements and currency agreements, bilateral trade agreements, and trade outside of the euro and the dollar. Huh? Because America wants to wage economic, political, and actually military war on the entire planet. And how does she do that? How does she finance her war machine? With a dollar. But at the same time, she's using her dollar as a weapon to prevent other nations from rising, which is causing them to seek refuge outside of the so-called rules-based economic order, which is helping to pull down the house of cards, which is the American economy and the U.S. dollar. This is what Elijah Muhammad was telling you. It's right there. Her deceitful, listen to this, her deceitful, filthy temptations now being displayed before her once slaves in the world are designed to make the once slave an enemy of his God and of his own salvation. So what she's doing, she's demonizing Islam. Now she controls ISIS. She controls Boko Haram and all of these other so-called terrorist organizations that you can't even name, never heard of. The first time you heard of it, they popped up on the news that it's controlled by the CIA and all of these alphabet intelligence agencies, right? You have proof that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda was started by the big new Brzezinski, who was the father of MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski. Huh? Himself was the national security advisor for Jimmy Carter. You see them in pictures with Osama bin Laden. How the hell are they not responsible for this? Look at the Saudis. the so-called Saudis. These are Jews. They were put in power by America, Britain, and France. And they remain in power by America, Britain, and France. Huh? So if all of these terrorist governments and terrorist wings are put into power by America, Britain, and the Western world, then how the hell can it be Islamic terrorism? That's Christian terrorism. Mass, that's Islamic terrorism. But through that deceitful manipulation of propaganda through the media, remember how Pharaoh was able to fool the people? He controlled what? The scribes. The scribes were the news organization. This is what the governments do. So Muhammad says, her deceitful, filthy temptation, now being displayed before her once slaves in the world, are designed to make the once slave an enemy of his God and of his own salvation, and are designed, planned behind what she's doing. By mentioning every time a bomb goes off and have somebody scream, Allahu Akbar, right? That is to demonize Islam. That is to make you hate Islam. So you see black people talk about terrorism and talk about the Muslims and all this stuff. So this is effectively saturating your brain. It is saturating your mind with this innuendo and propaganda that they constantly bombard the screens and the newspapers and the internet with. Okay? It is a plan, a design, matter of fact. Okay? Give me a second while I'm talking to you. But hold on 1 second. I'm trying to get to something while we're talking on this. Give me a second right here. See, I do this on the fly. All right. So, according to Google Dictionary, the word design, it's a noun. It means a plan or drawing produced to show the look and function or workings of a building, garment, or other object before it is built or made. An arrangement of lines or shapes created to form a pattern or decoration. So what they continue to do is bombard you with everything Islam is wrong, Islamic. You see, they make these phrases so that you will be offended by the phrases, so that you would be associate everything with terrorism with Islam, Islamic extremism, fundamentalism, right? They do all of this stuff because they understand that you don't take the time to do your research and you don't take the time to examine what is being, and because they presented to you, they know that you won't accept what the white slave master gave you. But if I present something to you, or your brother presents something to you, or your sister that looks like it presents something to you, you're going to argue to the very down in spirit of it. Because you were not brought up to accept right guidance and right authority from somebody that looks like you, acts like you, sounds like you, and walks like you. You will readily accept your oppressive advice, even though it may be detrimental to your life and the safety of your family. Okay? So, yeah, brother, so you give me a second. I'm talking to you now. And I love to talk to my people when we get the time to do it. So let's go further. He says, and are designed to take part, to make them take part against the aim and purpose of Allah. Remember, Elijah Muhammad told us what the purpose and aim of Allah was to come in to deliver us from their hand, to give us an equal chance at justice, to give us a place in the sun where we can enjoy true freedom and equality. Right? They give you temporary things. God wants to give you something permanent. So he goes further and says this. And then we're done with this, okay? A prophecy relating to America is mentioned in Isaiah 47:1 as a virgin daughter of ancient Babylon's history. As we all know, America is the last, the greatest, and the richest remaining power of the white nation. But now she has fallen. And the prophet Isaiah says, come and sit down in the dust. Humble yourself, for you are no more called delicate right there. Stop right there. Why would God send through his prophet Isaiah to make modern Babylon to humble herself? Because she's arrogant. She's arrogant. She's a drunkard. She's drunk on what she used to be, the wealth she used to have, the power she used to be able to exert. She's still drunk on that. But that is no longer the case today. She does not have unlimited power and authority. Right? So God is telling her, humble yourself. She won't humble herself. So she let her pigs loose against you in the street. And this is a reflection of what she's doing as she lets her military pigs loose in the international streets against all other nations. Her policy to overthrow and uproot governments that she don't agree with, she doesn't like, or she sees as a threat. She thinks that she is given the innate right to do so. So God tells her, humble yourself. But how would somebody that arrogant and pompous humble themselves on their own? They won't. Because power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the white world has had their way and dominion over the planet because God had given them a time to rule, and that time is up. But they are still drunk on what they used to be. So it takes events. It takes God. He is the master conductor, and now he's orchestrating the greatest symphony ever known to man. And it is labeled the destruction of the world, the judgment. This is it here. All of the fears of American empire are wrapped in terror. I want you to listen to this, okay? Brothers and sisters, your brother wants to talk to you. We got to get to some clips. I see the time is at hand. But I want to go to the Bible since it's on my mind real quick, all right? And if I need a little time, just give me a little time with you because they're always taking our time. They won't let us have the shows. Rashid and Jeremy say I'm the most sensitive man on the internet. But it's okay. All praise is due to Allah. They can't do no more than what Allah allows them to do. Ezekiel. Right here. Look right to it. All praise is due to Allah. Listen. The 37th chapter. Man, I'm telling you, Allah is great. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Listen to me good. Listen to this good. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, behold means stop, look, and listen, to be aware, to pay attention to observe. Okay? It says, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Okay? Listen closely to this. Because as we transition to the economics and as we transition to the geopolitics, we need a strong base, right? We're almost at the door. I got the broom. We sweeping. All right? Just give me a couple more minutes because I see a little trash under the couch. And we're going to get it out the door, okay? All praise is due to Allah. Let's go further. He says, said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? So God poses a question. He already knows the answer. But he poses a question because the bones not only were they dead and they were lying everywhere in a valley, they were very dry. They didn't have no moisture in them, no hint of blood in them, no marrow in the bones. They were just there. Okay? So God posed this question to his messenger at the time. He says, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. See, he understood that he didn't have the qualifications, the understanding, or the insight to answer that. So he threw the question back on his maker, his master, and his Lord. All right? And then he says, oh, Lord God, thou knowest, not me, but thou. And then he goes and says, again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Stop right there. That's the problem with us today as the black people. We don't want to hear right guidance. So when that man called in from the last show, and I was telling him, but the reason we don't hear right guidance is because it's coming, it's being uttered out of the mouth of somebody that looks like us that may not be your movement because they read some hieroglyphics of a pyramid or something like that. They don't realize that the so-called scholars who deciphered that got their learning from the very oppressor who hid the symbolism from the first place. You understand? So when they get a little bit, they go too far with it. And they won't hear right guidance calling them back. All right? So let's go further. And it says, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I'm not going to even go further than that. And ye shall live. Right? Well, how did he do it? Because according to scripture, but no life was in him. What did it take to breathe life into the dry bones? I'm asking all of y'all. It took the Son of Man prophesying to the winds of war. Y'all ain't hear what I just said. Huh? Because all y'all think y'all know everything. And you don't want to accept guidance from somebody. What did it take to put life in there? Was it accepting Africanism, which by itself is crazy as hell? And I'm not talking about Africa. I'm talking about Africanism. Because the continent wasn't called that. It got that name through colonialism. Okay? You paying African? I'm talking to you. See, we got to call an ace an ace and a spade, and we got to deal with things the way they are and not how we want them to be. How did the dry bones receive life? The Son of Man had to prophesy to the wind. And the wind, according to theology and scripture and science, represents war, right? So what's going on right now? There's a culture war. There's an economic war, right? There's a race war. There's a war for information and a war on information. What's going on around the globe? Huh? Wars. And rumors of more war. We're seeing earthquakes in diverse places, right? But know that the end is not yet. Because so many more things must take place. But after these wars beat on the dry bones, the book tells us that they stood up. Listen, this is very important that you understand this as we go into the economics and geopolitics. When the dry bones stood up and the life came into them and they was connected sinew to sinew, right? And flesh came upon them and skin came upon them. Because remember, the sinew and the breath and the skin came, the skin came on, but it still wasn't no life up. So what? When they went through the abuse, the brutality, and the viciousness of the deprivation of everything that they held dear to them in the war, then the life just breathed into them, right? And this is very, very important for you to understand what I'm about to say to you. When they stood up, all of them knew their place. You did not have the toe trying to be the nose. You didn't have the ear trying to be the eye. You didn't have the lips trying to be the butt cheeks. You didn't have none of that. They all went to their proper place. And the book says, then they stood up and they were an exceedingly great army. An army for truth. An army of God. But the war's got to take place. That's part of the separation. That's part of the unification. Whenever there's a separation, there's a unification. When you separate from evil, what do? You unify on truth. Is that not right? Separate from darkness, what do you go towards? Light, right? Right? That's the process of life. When you separate from light, you go to what? Death, right? That's a process. That some of you don't, you seem like you cannot grasp. But all of this stuff is bearing down on America. And while America is beating down on you, God, remember the foreign war? Remember all of the and the judgments and the plagues of America to bring her to her knees. Why she's funding Israel. And why she's blowing up people all over the world. Death is in her midst. I want you to listen close to this clip here, because this is showing you that America must suffer this stuff. She must suffer the loss of life. She must suffer within her own voice misfortune. She must suffer international slander. She must suffer the ridicule of nations for what's going on with her own borders. And she tries to think about this. I want you to understand how arrogant and how pompous she is. That's why the book told her to sit down in the dust. Humble yourself. While she's talking about China's human rights issue and Iran's human rights issues, she, America, holds an entire people of 68 million captive under her boot. She comprises 5% of the total population of the earth, yet holds 80 to 90% of the prison population of the earth. Who the hell is a danger to human rights and civilization? Tell me this. The arrogance of these people. And it makes my blood boil, because you act like you can't see this or understand this. But let's go into this. More things which is causing the empire to be exposed and be made mock of. I want you to pay close attention.
You're watching Press of World News. Time now for the news review. Well, no one is inside to gun violence in the United States. Nearly 400 people are killed in shooting incidents across the country in the just first 4 days of 2022. The figure has been provided by the Gun Violence Archive, an online site tracking shooting incidents. It says the country has seen 9 mass shootings since the beginning of the year. Mass shootings have seen an alarming surge in the U.S. in recent years, reigniting the debate over gun control laws and the misuse of lethal weapons. Last year, the United States saw a record high of 691 mass shootings. During the same year, gun violence resulted in nearly 45,000 deaths, among them over 1,500 children and teens under 17. So gun violence is the story. Now, let me invite a couple of guests. Our own correspondent in Washington, D.C., Colin Campbell, is joining us. Also from Washington, D.C., again, Wilmer Leon, columnist and political scientists. Good to have you both, and a belated Happy New Year to both of you. Now, Dr. Campbell, Trump directly said that Americans should have guns in their hands, and we had that incident that happened in a bar, I suppose, somewhere in the U.S., and I remember President Trump saying that if people there had guns, and that incident wouldn't have happened. So he was directly for this, apart from some other people saying that he was also benefiting from this. For his support from NRA and others. So we have another president in place now, but still gun violence is there, and even record numbers are just coming out.
Good morning. Happy New Year to both of you. And yes, gun violence is going to continue to be a problem here in the United States, because there is not really a strong political will to make the changes that are necessary to try to tamp down some of these outbreaks that we've experienced over the past several years. It's unfortunate that the number is almost at 400, I believe the number is 390 people. More than 250 people have been injured by gun violence. We have to remember the injured people as well. It's very unfortunate that lives are lost, but we also have to remember there are injured people who rely on the healthcare system, who may rely on the healthcare system after that. They may not be able to go to work. They may become a strain on the social safety network because they are unable to work fulsomely like they did before because they were maimed by gun violence. So this is an ongoing problem here in the United States that politicians have to address. And right now, you're not hearing that conversation coming from Congress. They're very caught up in voting rights right now, climate change, a bill that Democrats are infighting over right now. And you're not hearing these robust conversations like you should be about gun violence in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Now, Wilmer, why should, one basic question, why should Americans be armed with weapons? Is it to do what? To defend themselves against what? I mean, is there not police departments, security forces responsible for this?
Americans should not be armed with weapons, and the Second Amendment, contrary to what the Supreme Court decided in the 2008 Heller case, the Supreme Court does not allow for individuals to personally carry weapons outside the need for a militia. So that's a fiction that Americans need to be armed in order to protect themselves. But what I think we have to come to grips with is that from the misguided exploits of Christopher Columbus through the settler colonial state that the United States stemmed from and has become, that violence is who America is. Violence is what America was founded on. It is a settler colonial, it is a oppressive, genocidal, white supremacist nation. And so violence is inherent in who America is.
So, Wilmer, you're saying that there is no way out of this?
Oh, I don't see any way out of this, primarily because of the lobbyists, whether they be the NRA or the lobbyists that support the gun industry, and how much money they have invested into political campaigns and politicians. Politicians don't have the political will to do this. And now you have, from 2008 and the Heller case in D.C., a Supreme Court that validates this atrocious mindset and action. No, I don't see any way out of this.
Mm-hmm. Now, Colin, what about the Biden administration? I mean, have they not come up with any solution to this that, at least in words, to say that we're going to do this? Or
I wanted to stop it right there because it only had a few more seconds to go. But you see, the violence that is just everywhere in America, 400 people were killed, not shot. I'm talking about the people who died from gun violence 4 days of this year. There was hundreds more shot. Let's go to the all of America. Jeremiah 51:46 prophesies violence in the midst of Babylon, a future Babylon, and ruler against ruler. Don't you see Biden and Trump going at each other? Don't you see the Democrats and the Republicans going at each other? Huh? Is not this true of the American government and people today, Elijah Muhammad asked? Her whole land, meaning the people, shall be confounded or confused. Jeremiah 51:47. Is not this true of the American government and people of today? All of her slain shall fall in the midst of her. That's what Jeremiah said. Every hour in the day and night, people are being murdered and killed in America throughout our cities and highways. They're part of the judgment. This is what I'm telling you. So what do you expect to happen? I think some of you are like disassociated from reality. I think some of you claim to be close to God are disconnected from theology or disconnected from scripture or disconnected from prophecy because it seems like it's not registering in your head what you should expect. Huh? So all of this to bring this vicious beast, modern-day Babylon, to her knees. Okay? So I know, we got to stop the killing. We got to stop the violence. That ain't going to happen right now. To stop that would go against the will of time. To stop that would go against the will of prophecy. To stop that will make God out to be a liar. Because he told you what was going to come. He told you what to expect. And we are seeing what we were supposed to expect women to play in this day and time. This is the new reality. All of the fears of the American empire wrapped in terror. Then you hear that black man, when he said, I don't think we can be helped, in so many words. He said, it can't be stopped. He said, violence is inherently in America. Did I tell y'all that? According to the dictionary, the word inherent, which is the root to inherently, is an adjective. And it means existing in something as a permanent, essential, or characteristic attribute. Huh? So violence is as American as they say, right? And all of this trouble that is beating down America is because of you and me, because she won't do right. That's why the book talks, and that's why Elijah Muhammad tried to tell you that America would suffer the sword within, and you see that happening, 400 people killed in 4 days in the first month of the year. That's the sword within. It's going to intensify. The mudslides and the wildfires and the tornadoes that are just, you've never seen this before with tornadoes, right? Tornadoes usually touch the ground and be on there for a maximum of 5 minutes, and they're gone. You're seeing tornadoes 1, 2, 3 miles wide link up with other tornadoes and go for stretches of hundreds of miles. Then they separate and meet up again in another territory and rip that up. And then they all merge together, disappear, and then go to another territory. When the hell have you seen that happen? This is the judgment. Okay? That's the sword within. The sword without. You see what's going on as she tries to maintain her grip, her sway, and her position globally. What did Elijah Muhammad tell you all about the position that America's in? Let's go to 115, I believe it is. And then we'll go back to 115. Here it is. America, and trying to hold her place as the greatest power among the nations of earth, is one of the most troubled countries on earth today. That's what we see. And it is it's chapter 27 in a chapter titled, The Troubled America, No Peace. We're watching this in real time. Within her borders. Matter of fact, you know what? Let me just let you hear something real quick. We just heard about the death, right? Let me go to something real quick about what's going on all across America, okay? Give me a second. Let me try to find it. I just saw it, so if it's not up there, they moved it. Where is it? They might move it. Hold on 1 second. I'm still going to go for it. Give me 1 second here. I'm going to play some financial news in just a second. But I want you to see the very, as I've said to you before, the very precarious situation that the empire now finds herself in. See, long as she can dish it out, she's good. She's good. But now that it's coming back home, she can't take it. I want you to listen to this.
About the transition we're in.
When you say...
The homeless crisis in America is worsening again. The COVID pandemic caused a surge in housing costs and a rise in unemployment, leaving nearly 600,000 Americans unhoused in 2020.
We have to shut down a piece of our own humanity to be able to walk past another human being that is in such difficult situation.
And being homeless, your days and where spent from, where I'm going to lay my head at tonight, where I'm going to get my next bite of food from.
And what people don't typically realize when they walk past a person who's homeless is that this person is costing taxpayers a lot of money.
Cities across America are spending more than ever to combat the crisis. In 2019, New York spent a record-breaking $3 billion to support its homeless population. California is also expected to break its record, allocating $4.8 billion of its budget to the same issue over the next 2 years.
And areas like that just don't seem to be getting any better, despite the fact that every politician claims that this is a priority of theirs and the budgets keep going up.
Overall, homelessness in America has only improved 10% compared to 2007. It's even worse for certain subgroups such as individual homelessness, which dropped only 1% in the same period. On the contrary, 2020 saw a 30% increase in the unsheltered homeless, erasing over half a decade of work since its dramatic rise in 2015.
Right now, we're trending in the wrong direction. So the state of homelessness right now is pretty tenuous, and there are some small increases that are taking place across the board.
So how is the U.S. addressing the homeless crisis, and can it ever be solved? Homelessness is known to prey on some of the most vulnerable populations in America. In 2020, 20% of those who were unhoused suffered from severe mental disorders, while 16% suffered from chronic substance abuse. In response, the U.S. has long relied on a housing-ready approach to homelessness, where those who are unhoused had to meet specific requirements such as sobriety or completion of treatment in order to qualify for a home. That was until this man, Dr. Sam Sembaris, pioneered the Housing First Initiative.
At some point, myself and the people we were working with realized that really insisting that people change, get sober, take medication, get your life together in order to earn or be awarded housing was not working. You just, you know, people couldn't. People were on the street. They couldn't stay sober. They couldn't. They were not interested in medication. They were interested in being somewhere safe and secure.
The Housing First Initiative follows two tenets. First, the most effective solution to homelessness.
This is long. This is about a 15-minute clip, which I'm going to play on the next show. I just want you to see the situation in America. Why she's demanding, and she's giving billions of aid. I want you to realize she upped her aid package to Israel, right? She upped it, and then she just signed another deal with Israel for more weapons. Now, I want you to understand something. Israel never pays America for the weapons. They always backdoor it. I don't care how much the deal is. They always backdoor it and give Israel the weapons through taxpayers' money. Tens of billions of dollars in weapons plus more, I think, $1 or $2 billion on top of the billions that they are getting. But you can't get student debt relief. You can't get housing assistance. You can't get heating assistance. You can't get food aid assistance, right? But they can always find some money, $500 million or $2 billion or $6 billion to fund the war machine, right? They can always pass that through, as a matter of fact, to show you how arrogant America is when they put the war budget up for discussion. Not only did Congress pass the war budget, but they said it was insufficient. It didn't go far enough. So they gave it tens of billions more dollars on top of that. That don't include the black budget. That don't include the special funding budget. That don't include the overseas private budget. Trillions of dollars. Why are you starving? Why? Don't you see the arrogance and the pompousness of this imperial devil? And why God has to bring her down? That's why he said, come down. Come and sit down in the depths. Humble yourself, for you are no more to be called devil. And so as we were reading this other chapter, because we got to address this here, about her economics and how she can put money and allocate money for war and for bombs and for color revolutions and for bases, right? And she looks at a population who built this country from scratch. It won't give you 2 minutes or 2 cents of debt relief. She hates you that much. And got an army full of y'all. Praise his head. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, go to sleep. to the reality of the judgment of America. See, some of you are missing it. Lord, asleep. And I'm talking about a lot of Muslims are mentally lulled to sleep. That's why you see them on Facebook all the time, 100 times a day. That's why you see them always flung this. And they always got words of encouragement and words of this and that. And when you look at them, they're living like they're oppressive. Right? It's because they have been lulled back to sleep. They got the bow tie on. They took the Muhammad or the Ali or the Uthman or the Akbar and put on their name. They go to the regular meeting, but they are more inclined to buy them a Bentley. They're more inclined. And I'm not saying that nice things or not. You don't deserve nice things. We should get us nice things. But in a time of the destruction of America, we should be more mindful as there's asset destruction and currency destruction underway. Mama says, go to sleep to the reality of the judgment of America, a repetition of ancient Babylon's judgment, if you'd like to be caught in the snare. Man, okay. Let me see this. Since that word popped up, let's go to the dictionary. The word snare, a trap for catching birds or animals, typically one having a noose of wire or cord, right? So we know that the snare is a trap. So God set a trap for America. And a lot of us are being caught in that trap because we subliminally still love this oppressor. We subliminally still want to live his lifestyle or his death style, I should say. We subliminally still want to be acknowledged through his culture, through his propaganda, through his awards. So we're being caught in the snare that was laid for America to bring her to the ground, to remove her from the throne, to humble her. So even as you rise financially, if you're not mentally aware of what's going on, you too will be removed from that perch or that throne. You understand? And so Muhammad goes further and says, so it is with America. Long before America ever thought that she should repent of her evil done to her slaves or reject repentance, God has set the snare to catch her. America is now in the same snare that God set for ancient Babylon. You understand that? Do you understand? And Allah broke the power of ancient Babylon by destroying her economics, by destroying her culture, her cultural cohesiveness. And all of that were dominoes that fell on every aspect of the society of Babylon, from her politics to her military. You don't think change is underway? You don't think there's a great change underway and these white people don't understand that? I'm going to let you listen to one of these financial gurus. And listen to what she says. And she acknowledges that a change is underway. Okay? I want you to pay close attention. This is a minute, I believe.
All right. We have a lot of ground to cover since it's been a long time since we last spoke. First, stock valuations, as we start the new year, still through the roof, ahead of the Fed's coming interest rates. The landscape will change a lot in the first quarter. Do you think a lot of change is coming, Lynette?
I do think a lot of change is coming, and I think a lot of it is going to be as hidden as possible. There's been a tremendous amount of change, but, 2022 is really a pivotal year going into 2023, which is when a lot of things are supposed to happen. You've got the LIBOR going into effect or finishing up in 2023. Presumably, the CBDCs, the U.S. CBDC, is going to be ready in 2023. I mean, who really knows? But, you have all the contracts that have to transition. So 2022 is going to be an interesting year, especially watching the Fed attempt to slow down their purchases and raise interest rates.
So I got to unpack that. We got to unpack that. Play that again, but we got to unpack that. You see how she acknowledges change? And listen to what she's – it's very – very important that you pay close attention to what she says, because she talks about 2022 and how this is the precursor for a lot of stuff that's supposed to transpire in 2023. What did we tell you? What have we been telling you on this show? Huh? Haven't we told you that America is wrapped up in the judgment in that 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period? Huh? You're hearing the financial gurus and the politicians and the prognosticators and the think tankers. All of them are acknowledging something that you are so foolish to ignore. Change is underway, according to the dictionary. The word change, it is, listen to this, it means, I want you to pick those. Make someone or something different, alter or modify, to replace something with something else. All right? Especially something of the same kind that is newer or better, to substitute one thing for another. So we're looking at one world being substituted for another because the old world has lived out its purpose and is being switched out to a new world. All of the economic and political barometers are pointing toward that. I want you to listen to her again because it's very important that you hear what she says and how she says it, okay?
All right. We have a lot of ground to cover since it's been a long time since we last spoke. First, stock valuations, as we start the new year, still through the roof ahead of the Fed's coming interest rates. The landscape will change a lot in the first quarter. Do you think a lot of change is coming, Lynette?
I do think a lot of change is coming, and I think a lot of it is going to be as hidden as possible. There's been a tremendous amount of change, but, 2022 is really a pivotal year going into 2023, which is when a lot of things are supposed to happen. You've got the LIBOR going into effect or finishing up in 2023. Presumably, the CBDCs, the U.S. CBDC, is going to be ready in 2023. I mean, who really knows? But, you have all the contracts that have to transition. So 2022 is going to be an interesting year, especially watching the Fed attempt to slow down their purchases and raise interest rates.
So they see something underway, and they see 2022 as a precursor to something major, a whole bunch of cascading events, as I often say on this show, taking place in the year coming after. And all of this stuff fits into a timeline that we have been telling you about for the longest, right? I mean, we ain't making this up. We were telling you this before they uttered the word, right? So they see this. And so I want to point out to you, I'm going to play another short clip. I'm going to play two more short clips, and we'll end the show, and then we'll come back and do a show on Thursday if they'll allow us to do it. Now, I want to say this also. If we have a show scheduled and the show doesn't come up, that's not us. That's them blocking us from accessing our dashboard. Okay? Also, Brother Rashid and I are going to try to do a live Red Pill Diaries either Wednesday or Friday of this week. So y'all be aware of that, okay? But I just want you, let's go into this other clip. This is a minute and 8 seconds. And I want you to see how they have lost faith in the system. They want change. They see change coming.
Okay. But people were kind of saying good riddance to 2021, welcoming 2022 with a lot of exuberance. And I really hope that is the case. Are you optimistic that things will turn around here?
No. No, okay. We're at the end. I mean, in one word, no, because we're at the end of this long-term trend in the value.
Stop right there. You heard that? I'm going to play it again. I'm going to play the whole thing out. But you hear that? That's the end of this long-term trend. It's about to be over. They understand this. You're the ones that don't understand it. Understand that the system is over. They understand that something else must come in because they have reached the limits of their knowledge. They have reached the scope and ability of the system. They understand this. So they recognize that change has been coming and change has been underway. A tremendous amount of change, as you said in the first clip, has been the world and the system has been undergoing a tremendous amount of change. And they see some crescendoing this year and a lot coming into 2023. Why? Why are these dates so important? Huh? But I want you to listen to it again. Yeah, she said she does not have faith in the system anymore.
Well, people were kind of saying good riddance to 2021, welcoming 2022 with a lot of exuberance, and I really hope that is the case. Are you optimistic that things will turn around here?
No. Okay. We're at the end. I mean, you know, in one word, no, because we're at the end of this long-term trend in the value of fiat money, of government-based, you know, money. I mean, it really, how much value does this $20 bill have anymore? And with the commitment of the central banks, it has less and less and less. So even if the stock market, and I do think we're in melt-up phase, I think the stock market's going to go up? Well, yes. I mean, I think we're going to have a very volatile year as the Fed fights for its credibility. That's really, I think, what this year is about, is the Fed fighting for its credibility. But I think at the end of the day, there's not one doubt in my mind about the transition we're in.
When you
okay, transition, rhetoric, music, physics, chemistry. It says the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. To undergo or cause to undergo a process or a period of transition. So what is she saying? That a process of change is underway and it cannot be stopped. The Fed can't do it. The government can't do it. The Western world can't do it. The entire world can't do it. Why? Because it is out of their authority and out of their hands. Someone more powerful and wiser is ushering in the change. What? Again, I got to play the first few seconds of the clip again. I just want you to hear what she said when she was asked. And the question, she said, no. I mean, I just listened to this because it struck me.
People were kind of saying good riddance to 2021, welcoming 2022 with a lot of exuberance, and I really hope that is the case. Are you optimistic that things will turn around here?
No.
Okay.
We're at the end. I mean, you know, in one word, no, because we're at the end of this.
These are financial gurus, right? And they're telling you this. Now we're going to get to this other clip. We'll play this last clip, right? But I want you to keep everything that you've heard in your head, and I want you to also go back if you get a chance to and re-listen to this show, okay? Because there's jewels in it everywhere that I want you to study. But pay close attention to the last clip of the day, and then we'll come back and we'll close it off, okay? Pay close attention.
About the transition we're in.
When you say fighting for their credibility, will they do whatever it takes to fight the inflation beast? Will they be successful?
No, because inflation is baked into the very essence of this dollar. Like I was listening this morning on CNBC,
yes,
and they were talking about corporate profits,
yes,
and how in any environment, corporate profits will always exceed the rate of inflation, and let me say, not the real rate of inflation, but that's because by design, corporations wanted to pay employees less and less, but they knew if they accepted 10 bucks, they weren't gonna settle for five. But if they could make that 10 bucks actually spend like five, and they were making more corporate profits, then they were getting what they wanted. It's nominal confusion. And so, you know, the answer is no. Can they fight inflation? No, they created it. And it for them to now just blame it on the supply chain is, well, just finger pointing. It's not real. It's not real.
What is the cause? For you, is it because there's too much money in the system? Because I've had various expert opinions weighing on, you know, the inflation problem, and some will say, well, it's really just because of Biden's bad policies that we find ourselves in this mess, not because of an influx of money in the system. So if you could just talk a little bit about what you think is really behind it.
Well, what I really think is behind it is in 2008, the system died and they started massive money printing. And from that period of time forward, I mean, has the money printing, sometimes it slowed a little bit, but look at the balance sheets. Look at the balance sheets for any central banker, plus even the government, plus many of the individuals. Balance sheets are higher and higher. More and more debt has come into the system, which means more and more money has come into the system. And as long as it was just contained inside of the stock market, well, that was hunky-dory for everybody. Look at how great the stock market's doing. But the reality is, this time around, they had to give some to the little guy too. And when you do have then the supply chain issues of the unavailability of employees and goods and services, that now that money is trickling in and you've got a lot of cash that was given to the consumer that's been chasing that limited number of goods. But make absolutely no mistake about it, the cause of the inflation is because that is the foundation of the monetary system. That's it. That's it from the beginning.
Did you hear what she said? So in essence, she's telling you that the system is inherently corrupt and it is a parasitic system, what we've been telling you. And she said something that was very important and very telling. And I told you this on the show on multiple occasions. The system died. It's dead. It's completely dead. Gregor Mandarino has even confirmed that and said that. But it's like a snake. You know how a snake is compact and has multiple muscles, right? And you chop the head off the snake. The head is still venomous, so you have to bury that head, right? Or get it out of the way so nobody gets bitten by the head or get punctured by the teeth or whatever. But while the head is removed, the muscles in the body continues to twitch. That's what it does. It continues to twitch. And sometimes it can twitch, some people say, for upwards of 3 to 4 hours after death. That's what you're looking at with the American empire. That's what you're looking at with the Western world and the financial system. It has been dead for a while. This is the cause. This is the walking dead. This is the zombie. And what you're seeing is the reflexes and the twitch muscles of the snake after it was beheaded. So we're looking at something that is already dead, and time will soon reveal it. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that I love you more than life could ever show, words could ever tell, and my feelings could ever express. But all of that pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, who has come to us in the magnificent person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due forever, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous with a full nation salute. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day, the rosy